For our children's homily today, I'm going to talk about the beautiful flowers that are on the altar today. From far away, it looks like it's one big arrangement, and it's all around the beautiful cross. Their job is to point your direction towards that cross, reminding us of God and everything to God's glory. And what I love about being far away is you see the beautiful big vision. And you know there are roses up there, but you can't tell exactly what other flowers are there too. And I don't know all the names of them, but what I do know is each one uniquely adds to the arrangement. It is such a beautiful arrangement for our wedding that was here last night to celebrate the coming together of two as a married couple. And what I wanted to tell the children today, if they were up here with me, is as we got closer, they could see how each flower contributed to the bigger vision and how important each one was. And as you got up close, you could see individually the significance of each flower. And I would have brought them around the altar way up there to see and look back out and see you in the congregation as one big group. And how each of you individually truly reflect the glory of God too, becoming the larger body that we all are. And I think that's part of the message from Paul today, that we are one body together, each with gifts and talents and the opportunity to, just like the flowers behind me, glorify God and point to God for others. Amen. Let us pray. Unclench your fists, hold out your hands, take mine. Let us hold each other. Thus, God's glory is made manifest. Amen. Please be seated. I don't know about you, but 2022 is off and running at top speed. And even if you haven't resumed all of your activities in 2019, the opportunities seem to abound this year. While not all in person, and many are by Zoom, things that were postponed are back. And some things still aren't quite back to full force, but they're getting more creative, aren't they? Here in Tallahassee, the legislative session is back in session. Yesterday was Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, and tomorrow we will celebrate it as a city and as a nation. And at the same time, our Omicron numbers are not yet at a peak in Tallahassee. There are so many things straining for our attention. In the life of the church, we are celebrating people having babies, couples, as I mentioned, getting married, beloved friends dying. Our lives are full. There's deep thankfulness for these moments of new beginnings, new chapters, and the moments we have when we let go of a loved one as their chapter here on earth ends. We raise our glasses, we pause, we give thanks, we reflect. And the reality is that we need each and every one of you in this story, each of your quirky selves with strengths and flaws that help to make this story to move forward together. If anyone has told you otherwise, they were wrong, and I want you to hear that. Because together, holding each other, in the words of Madeleine L'Engle, we manifest or make evident God's glory. The message of unity of individuality is the message that St. Paul has for us today in Corinthians. Corinth was a booming town with lots of conflicting messages. St. Paul's letters to the Corinthians were letters to help them where they were on their spiritual journey and to go deeper. Today, he's reminding them about the importance of each person within the community. And this message continues in this same chapter later. We are all different, and that is something to celebrate, embrace, and welcome. Each piece is vital to the community's identity. In the fullness of our current days, I wonder, have we resumed the things we have always done in the way we used to? Or have we realized where we might need to stretch and grow in love, in understanding, in relationships? Have we let go of the time when the world stood still and we all realized just how busy we were and how much we didn't like it? What fills our days these days? What doesn't fill our days? Is it activity or stillness? Anxiety, joy, sorrow? Does it depend on the minute, hour, or day of the week? I don't believe there's anything wrong to fill our day, but I do believe that what we do with that emotion and activity matters. Each moment is a moment for transformation. In our gospel reading today, we've moved from the baptism of Jesus in the ordinary water of the river Jordan to water being transformed into wine at the wedding in Cana. At the wedding, the wine has run out. Well, this would happen regardless. The timing was not what the host had planned. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, like any good Southern woman, wanted to save the host the disgrace of lack of hospitality. Mary came to the rescue with a plan to fix the problem. She believed her son could and should resolve the predicament. She believed in him, and she told him so. After discussion and time, Jesus acts, and the new wine he has created is better than the wine they toasted at the beginning of the celebration. And I want to take a moment to look at this story in a bigger way, looking at the first sign of Jesus' power as imagery for God and creation, and also a message for our own lives, because this miracle has very little to do with alcohol at all. So remember, God created this world perfect, marvelously, abundant with resources, all in perfect relationship with God and with one another. The beginning of the wedding reception, it reminds us of when everything that was needed was available, just like that first part of creation. But we know the bigger story, that temptation and sin distanced us from God. Our own flawed divisions take over, and we only see shortage rather than abundance. This is the part of the story of the wedding banquet when the wine ran out. We are promised in Scripture, all throughout Scripture, a new creation, a reunification with God in heaven, a new heaven and earth, better than we can imagine. The good wine that Jesus creates at the wedding is the imagery of the heavenly banquet table, a foretaste of the feast to come, being reunited with abundance, our divisions ceasing, and only joy and connection exists in our community. And I further wonder, where do you find yourself in those pieces of the story? Do you see yourself in the wine at the beginning of the wedding, where there's only abundance? The space in the story where everything's going well in relationships and you are coping with the stress of the world going around you. Or perhaps you see yourself in the space where wine has run out, where your energy is gone, your frustrations are high, and perhaps it's at the end of a long relationship that has run to distance. You live in fear of your own safety and the safety of others. You've lost a loved one. Your anger at injustice consumes you. Or you just can't seem to get well and are awaiting the right treatment or diagnosis to move forward. Or perhaps your anxiety inhibits you from finding joy. If you resonate with this part of the story, hear this. Just like in the wedding in Cana, there is the promise of even better wine. There is a promise that God is there with you, and the time of running out and shortage will end. Some days, we are the ones who seem to be running out of everything, and we need a Mary to reach out and assist. Sometimes, we are the Mary for our friends who are in that space of running out, and we invite them to hold on, reminding them that Jesus is here too, and there's possibility of a new beginning. St. Paul liked to give instructions through letter form. Our epistles remind us of it every time we open the New Testament. And we hear that again today to the Corinthians. his reminder to come together as community, to strive together for unity. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. gave instruction also through letter. He never wasted a word in a sermon or in written communication. And one of the things that I loved finding out about him was his Ten Commandments for nonviolence that governed the work of those who followed him. And they're worthy of reflection and refocusing our lives even so today. Similar to St. Paul, Dr. King reminded the people to meditate daily on the teachings and life of Jesus, to pray daily to be used by God in order that all people might be free, to walk and talk in the manner of love, for God is love, to remember that our goal is not victory, but rather justice and reconciliation. And in that struggle, personal sacrifice is involved for all to be free. One of my favorites in these Ten Commandments is that we are to observe both friend and foe with the ordinary rules of courtesy. I encourage you to look up or Google the Ten Commandments of Nonviolence. They are a beautiful reminder, and they remind me of the baptismal covenant, in more contemporary words, of how we are to respect each other and the dignity of every human being. Each of us uniquely has the opportunity to come together and to be with one another. It takes hard work, stretching and growing beyond what has always been done, stretching and growing beyond what is comfortable. Jesus was and is with us in the ordinary and transforms small moments of running out into moments of new beginnings and celebrations. We each are a part of this conversation, and our common humanity depends upon our participation. Each of our unique talents and gifts can be listened deeply to and be fully engaged. St. Paul wrote to encourage his flock. Our gospel writer John wrote to show us in beautiful imagery the hope we have through Jesus' actions. And the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. also spoke to the vision that has yet to come. Dr. King believed we were capable of change. And those words still invite us today to keep working together for change. So in the words of Madeleine L'Engle, unclench your fists, hold out your hands, take mine, let us hold each other, for thus God's glory is made manifest. Amen.